You're listening to The Hour of Time, and I'm William Cooper.
What? Well, then I must be your good buddy Pooh.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation and under God and indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
Wow, you got a little excited there, didn't you? How come you're so excited?
Well, because I just said you're listening to the Hour of Time and I'm William Cooper.
Oh, you're still laughing about that, huh?
Yes.
Well, you want to tell folks where you went a few days ago?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
You know where I went, guys? I went to Disneyland.
You did? What did you see?
Well, I saw Goofy.
You did more than see Goofy, didn't you?
Well, I saw...
Didn't you kind of fall in love with Goofy?
Well, I went to Goofy's kitchen for dinner, and I saw Minnie Mouse, I saw Goofy, and he came to me, and he played with me, and he liked me, and I saw Cinderella and the Handsome Prince.
And Pooh Bear?
I saw Pooh Bear, and let me see. Well, and then when it was daytime again, I wrote Goofy a postcard. So we went to Goofy's kitchen, me and Poppy and Allison and Mommy, and I asked Pooh Bear, that, could you give this to Goofy? It's for him. And Pooh took me to Goofy, and then I gave him the postcard, and then I read it to him, and I said, Dear Minnie, I love you. Goofy's Kitchen, let me see.
To Goofy.
To Goofy's Kitchen. From Pooh.
That's right.
And then it had hearts everywhere, and I made a stamp. I just made a stamp in it, and I put the heart inside.
You sure did. And you were gone a long time. I was starting to get worried.
Well, I missed Sugar Bear when I was out there.
Yeah, we all missed Sugar Bear, huh? He missed us, too.
Yeah. But he has a lot of dogs over there. It's his friends.
That's right. And he likes to spend some time with them, doesn't he?
Yeah. Every time we were at that place, he just jumps all everywhere, gets excited, and sometimes he jumps on the phone.
Well, I think I better start this broadcast tonight, don't you?
Well, let me tell some more about Disneyland.
No, one more story, and then I gotta start, okay?
Okay. Well, and then Goofy looks on the back and on the front, and then he saw the picture of me. He just pointed to the card and pointed to me and pointed to two guys.
And then what happened?
Well, and then I had to go.
What'd you do to his nose?
I forget about that. He wanted me to kiss his nose, so I kissed it.
And it was a nice kiss, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, folks, good night and have sweet dreams. Don't let the bug bites get you.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear it saying, boy,
boy, boy,
oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause the woman that you love is gone. Off your knees, don't let the song survive. That's what she said. Won't let the song survive. Won't let the song survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on.
Yeah, that's, folks, for those of you who may not know it, let me turn that pot down there. Those who may not know it, that's number 37 on the all-time most requested dedications on radio across the country. Only the Strong Survive by Jerry Butler. And I like it. I don't know about you, but I like it. I imagine that you've all gotten sick and tired of listening to reruns for the last 10 days. Tonight, you probably have some questions, probably want to talk about some things, so we're going to go to the phones. It's 520-333-4578 for those of you who may be new listeners or maybe never wrote down the number. 520-333-4578 is the number, and we'll be taking calls for the rest of the hour. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Mike from New Hampshire.
Hello, Mike.
Just wondering if you had any idea on, you know, we see the pictures of the troops over in Haiti and they're coming home from Haiti and the troops over in Bosnia, and they've got the American flag patch with the blue field in the upper right-hand corner on their shoulders. What does that signify, that the blue field is backwards?
I have no idea. It signifies to me that they don't know how to sew a flag on their uniform.
No, well, the flags are obviously made that way, and they're put on that, you know, that way. So whoever the flag manufacturing companies are that are...
No. The military never does something because somebody gives them the wrong part.
That's what I mean. Obviously, there's a sign to that.
No, it doesn't mean that there's a sign to it. What it means is whoever determined that that's the way it was going to be on that shoulder probably didn't know the proper way to display the American flag.
Okay. So it wouldn't have anything to do with, you know, the flag being upside down or backwards as a sign of...
No.
Okay.
No. If it was, it'd be upside down.
Okay.
Or it'd be on fire.
But, so, where were you on? California? Beyond Disney World?
No, we didn't go to Disney World. We went to Disneyland in Anaheim. Took the two girls for 2 days, and while I conducted some business, and then we spent the rest of the time here cleaning up odds and ends that I wasn't able to do when I was ill. And I really got behind. When I was, that's the first time I've ever been that sick in my life. It's the first time I've ever been totally down, except...
Well, I tell you, you know, who carries it, who filled in great for you when you were sick, and it might not be a bad idea for the future instead of running reruns, was Gary Bourgeois. Remember that time a couple of months ago when you were sick, real sick?
Oh, yeah, Gary does that every once in a while, but the last time I asked him, he didn't want to. He wanted to play reruns. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was the one who was running the show. He could have done it if he wanted to.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah. Hey, Gary, if you're listening, you run a great show. Do it again. All right, thanks, Phil.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. During that 10 days, I've completely revamped the intelligence service and CAGI, and as soon as I get it all outlined and notify the members, then I'll tell the rest of the listening audience what's going on. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Cooper.
Yes.
This is Sam in Maryland.
Hello.
I vote for putting Pooh back on. Let her run the show tonight.
Well, it wouldn't be a bad idea, except...
After bedtime, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It might be more interesting for a while than the regular stuff, but...
At least it'd be, it would be more...
More
not so heavy.
Right.
Hey, if you guys...
Earlier conversation just reminded me of when my little girl, my daughter was a little like that, and it's fun.
Hey, well, she's one of the lights of my life. And as soon as she's old enough and able, she's going to do the whole show, if I have anything to say about it. And if she wants to, I won't, of course, make her do anything if she doesn't want to. But if she wants to, she's going to be sitting right here doing what I do.
Sounds like she might want to. I just hope that I've raised three girls. They get a little froggy when they're about 14. I just hope she doesn't break your heart.
Well...
they turn out all right later. But
cross that bridge when we come. I told my wife if the normal teenage things happen, I'm leaving for 2 years and come back when it's over.
Hey, pal, you can leave for about 9.
Well, if my sister is any judge of what happens, I mean, she went through it in about 2 years and slammed doors and stomped her feet and screamed and all that kind of stuff, and then it was over with. So.
Lasts longer than that, especially if you got more than one around the house in there. Right back in your face every 3 minutes with the same issue, turn a little different way. You'll find out.
Well, you know, it'll be a challenge. I always, in my all the years that I was growing up, I wanted to be surrounded by wonderful women, and now I am, and I'm not complaining a bit.
All I can say is I wish you luck.
Thank you. Oh, that was a strange call. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
See, your repeat show is up. This is Dave from Michigan.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how you doing? On Matthew Prophecies, you woke me up. I'm 39 years old. I used to be not really a heavy Bible thumper, but I just realized how deceived I was.
We're all deceived by a lot of people, and if we'd stop listening and start reading and thinking and researching and investigating, nobody could deceive us. But for some reason, people want to be led. They don't want to lead, and that's why there are so few leaders.
Do you think the scripture, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," that's it?
It's "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Will make you free.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. And
more shows on that later?
Well, I don't know. I do whatever comes to mind that I think is important at the time.
If you could squeeze it in, please do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And yes, I think that that says it all. When Jesus said, "Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free," that he said it all right there. And the only other thing that you really need to know is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you can remember those two things and practice them, you've got it made. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
My name is Jim from California.
Hi, Jim.
I'm a relatively new listener, and I enjoyed your show the other night. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is I've
seen some of your older material that I understand that now you've recanted, and some of the things dealing with the secret.
I've never recanted anything. If you saw the older material, you never heard me say ever that I ever saw an alien. You never heard me say ever that aliens were real and they were here. What you heard me say was when I was in the Office of Naval Intelligence, attached to the briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, I saw documents that said those things.
Well, I'm just kind of going by what a friend of mine said. That
oh, that's the worst thing in the world you can ever do.
Yeah. Well, he's been listening to you for a long time. And,
yeah.
And he basically told me, and correct me if this is wrong, because he told me that that you indicated that you had been led by the government to believe or to see certain things that were pretty much propaganda.
Yeah, that's exactly what I believe. I believe that I was intentionally shown those documents, and being in the position that I was in, and having been reared in a military family, that I would believe that it was true and go out and tell the world. And for a while I did, and but pretty soon, as I always do, eventually I screw my head on straight and start questioning things, and it didn't add up, and it still doesn't add up. I think it's a deception. I think I was used. It angers me to a great extent that the service that I was dedicating my life to and that I had gone and fought a war for would use me in that manner. I am so disgusted with them. I'll tell you the truth, when one of my daughters went and became an officer in the Air Force, I told her, you know, don't ever come back. That's the way I am now. I have no use for the users whatsoever, and I have no use for the ignorant or the stupid or the sheeple. I have no patience for any of it anymore, and I am the worst on myself. So believe me. Whatever you think that I am with other people, I am worse on myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm a studier of a lot of different areas, and you know, extraterrestrials is part of my study. But I don't get into any channeled stuff. I stay completely away from that. I mainly study the more ancient scripture type stuff.
Let me ask you something before you get into this. How can you make extraterrestrials a subject of your study when there is no proof anywhere whatsoever of any kind by anyone that extraterrestrials exist, much less have ever visited this Earth?
Yeah, well, there's lots of pictures in caves and in ancient clay tablets and writings. And
can you prove to me that they're extraterrestrial?
No, but
that there's my point right there.
But looking at them, it seems pretty obvious to me. And
No. What it seems pretty obvious is that you're making a lot of assumptions about an ancient people who are probably scribbling religious icons on walls of caves, of which you know nothing about. And so you look at it, and since you want to believe in extraterrestrials, that's what you make it into.
Well, it's not really that I want to. It's just that it seems a lot more logical to me to believe that there are other beings in the universe, and that our planet is not just in a 6,000-year cycle, and all of a sudden, kapoof, here we are, you know.
Where did you get that 6,000-year cycle baloney?
Well, that's what the Bible will say, is that Adam and Eve were the first man, and that...
Where did you get the 6,000-year cycle?
Well, 7,000-year cycle.
Where did you get that?
Well, from my old studies into Christianity, you know, that...
Where, specifically?
Well, the 7 days of creation are thought to be 7,000 years.
Well, if there was 7,000 years, then that was over a long, long time ago.
Right, and that until the end of this millennium was supposed to be 7,000 years from Adam.
How can it be when the religious experts say that the world was created 4,000 years ago?
4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Well, I've heard a lot of them say that. They'll say that evolution can't possibly be true. And you know, I'm not saying that it is true, because there is no proof of evolution either. But they say that evolution cannot possibly be a scientific fact, because the Bible says man was created 4,000 years ago.
Are you familiar with any of Sitchin's works?
Yeah, I am.
You know, I have a pretty strong leaning towards what he says.
Why?
Well, because I've seen the other descriptions of the clay tablets and some of the other translations of them, and I've also studied ancient Hinduism, and are you familiar with the writings of Gordon Wasson?
No.
Or John Allegro?
No, never heard of them.
Gordon Wasson is the one that came out with a book in the early 70s dealing with the identity of the Hindu plant god Soma. There was a plant god called Soma that was the mediator between man and God. Man would eat this plant god and then go into the heavens or become enlightened. And
you're misinterpreting that, and so is he.
Well,
when they would eat that plant was a narcotic plant.
Right.
And would put them into a narcotic state where they would see God, just like the hippies saw God when they ate LSD. That was pretty common to most of the ancient religions, is that they had some kind of a psychedelic or mind affecting drug or drink that they used in their religious ceremonies.
Well, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge, it opened their eyes.
Well, let me also tell you something else. Have you ever heard of Terence McKenna?
Yeah.
Terence McKenna, well, you know who he is.
Yeah.
He promotes marijuana. He has done a lot of research into marijuana. Do you know what he says about extraterrestrials and marijuana and mushrooms and psychedelic drugs?
Yeah.
What does he say?
Well, he believes that it was part of our spiritual evolution.
No, that's not what he says.
Well, that's one of the things he says, yeah.
No, that's not what he says. What he says is that the participation in the mystic ritualism of drug use in religion causes an expansion of consciousness which creates in your own mind these beings. He says that all of these abduction scenarios and supposed contacts of the first kind with supposed extraterrestrials are the same exact things that are experienced when one takes psychedelic mushrooms and other psychedelic or mind affecting drugs that are stronger than marijuana.
Uh-huh. Well, he also says that is actually a part of being a human being, the idea of experiencing those states of.
What it is a part of is part of being a human being if you're a drug user.
Well,
I'm not a drug user, and I've never had those experiences and never will, because I never want to take anything that screws up my head. So don't say it's a part of the human experience, because that's not true. It's part of the human experience for those humans who participate in those kinds of activities. Bear in mind, I'm not condemning it. It's just not for me.
Yeah, well, there's another book by Gordon Wasson called The Road to Eleusis, and he talks about...
You know what Eleusis is?
Yeah.
What?
The Eleusian gods. The state, it's a state that was excited by Ergo, for one.
No, it wasn't. The Eleusian gods were created by an ancient mystery school called the Eleusian Mysteries.
Uh-huh.
And they had a tremendously... terrifying and painful initiation into this brotherhood, so to speak. It's a precursor of modern day Freemasonry.
Well, a lot of that dealt with the ergo. What they would do is they would ingest ergo, and if you know what ergo is, it's like the natural form of LSD.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I've been trying to tell you for the last few minutes.
Well, see, all
there was no Eleusian God. It was all in their mind.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I wouldn't want to say it isn't.
It's a fact. I mean, if you want to accept that all these different gods throughout history have existed, then what is the meaning of a god?
The meaning of God is more of a it's more of a universal consciousness. It's like the consciousness of the entire everything.
Yeah. Well, then you're saying that there's only one?
Well, there's only one. Constant, the all of everything. One.
Then how do you explain Mithra, Adonai, Zeus, Jehovah?
Well, these are all, they're all.
Eleusis.
I explain them all as pretender gods.
I explain them all as total, absolute, 100% bullshit.
Yeah.
If you believe in a concept that there is a God, there could not possibly be more than one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All the other ones are pretender gods. You know, there is...
Well, how can they be pretender gods?
Well, because they're saying that they're God and they're the one.
No.
Only one.
According to the ancient religions and stories, they demonstrated that they were God.
Well, they demonstrated through technology or whatever it is that they used.
No, what I believe and what the most brilliant minds on this earth believe is that most of these things are very simply metaphors created by an ancient man who had no understanding of how the world operated around him, and so he created these gods and religions to explain the things that he could not explain, and it also allowed the priesthood through the kings to control great masses of people through these beliefs.
Yeah, well, it's just like with Constantine and the Council of Nice, you know, I mean, those are the biggest mind manipulators ever.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. There is not one single organized big money religion on the face of this earth that is not manipulating and lying to people, I don't care what you call it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I believe that any god that we've ever seen that has come to this planet and said that he was a god, I believe was just nothing more than a pretender to God.
I don't think anybody came to this planet and said they were God, and I'm not going to believe it until somebody can prove it. I learned a long time ago that if you're willing to believe things without proof, you are easily manipulated and led. You are easily fooled. You are easily screwed over, robbed, enslaved, whatever you want to call it. You become a puppet of whoever's pulling the strings on those beliefs.
Yeah, well, those people that say that even Koresh said he was God. I'm not to put down Koresh or anybody, but there's Eastern mystics, there's Christians.
That's right.
People that claim to be gods.
And they're all full of baloney.
Right.
If they were God, what in the world are they doing on this screwed up planet messing around with us?
That's for sure. Well, I really enjoyed your program the other night. I'll get off and let some other people go on. But
okay. Now, I enjoyed your call.
Jordan Maxwell is going to be on the Dave Hinkson show after yours out here in California.
Well, I like Jordan Maxwell, but Dave Hinkson is a barefaced liar, and I wouldn't recommend anybody listening to him. But if you want to listen to Jordan Maxwell, I would recommend that you do that.
Yeah, it's really good. And with you on one hour and Jordan on the next few, it's a really good night for me, sitting behind my information network here.
Good.
Too bad everybody doesn't listen to this stuff.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bill.
520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
It's
Cooper.
You don't have to yell. Hello?
Yes. I was wondering if you had found out more about Pat Robertson's book and the Ghostwriter. Ghostwriter.
Yeah, we did. We found out exactly who the ghostwriter was, and I can't remember who it was, but it wasn't Tal Brook, as we originally thought, but it was ghostwritten. Pat Robertson did not write it, and he admitted it.
Was it taken from the files of Larry Abraham?
I don't remember, to tell you the truth. Larry Abraham did not write it, if that's what you were meaning.
No, I know that Larry Abraham did not write it, but what I came to understand and what I read, I can't remember where, was that the ghostwriter had taken it, and I had read the book, and it read just like Larry Abraham's book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. It was like a verbatim transcript from Larry Abraham's files.
Yeah, it sort of did resemble his writing. I wouldn't call it verbatim transcript. But it was not original. It was not written by Pat Robertson, and it did not reveal anything that anybody did not know.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
Because he is promoting one world government. He's promoting that all Christians unite under the leadership of the Pope. The Pope has said that he will unite all Christianity and lead read Keys to This Blood by Malachi Martin, who's a jealous Jesuit priest, who wrote a book called Keys to This Blood with the Blessings of the Pope, and he reveals an awful lot in there. He also wrote another book called The Jesuits, which I recommend.
It just seems like Robertson used that as a vehicle to
stop all the questioning of why he did not attack our try to reveal the New World Order. See, he was coming under a lot of criticism by those of us who understood what was going on. If he was really who he pretends to be, why wasn't he revealing this to his flock of sheep? And so he was forced to write something to prove that he was not on the side of the New World Order, but if you listen to him, you know that that's a bunch of baloney.
The book was a good way to shear them, too, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Good night, Mr. Cooper.
Good night.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a star. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy. If you are serious, don't play with my heart, it makes me furious. But if you want me to love you, then baby, I will. Girl, you know I will.